Hope lives here. Amen. You know, week after week, real living hope is becoming a greater and greater commodity in the time and age that we're living in. Right now, the supply chain has some weak links. That's the new bad news. And the media is advising us, hurry up, get your Christmas presents now. Otherwise, the unthinkable will happen and you won't be ready. Christmas shopping done now, or the supply line breakage is going to keep them from being on your doorstep in time. I was driving in this morning, and I made the mistake of looking at gas prices. What happened overnight? Stores are starting to put limits on certain items again. That's starting this week. But I want to tell you this morning, there is no limit on hope. There is no delay for delivery on hope. There is no inflated price. There are no increasing taxes on hope. Hope doesn't need to have a shout or wear a mask. Hope fits everyone. Hope is something that everyone needs and really wants. And more than that, it is something that they can find because it lives right here at Central Christian Church. Hope lives here. We're going to keep saying that because it's so important. And I want you to be able to say it freely. Hope lives here. That's our vision at Central Christian Church, to bring people into contact with this living hope that we have because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that is a pretty complicated business. There are going to be some challenges that we'll need to meet, some choices to be made all along the way. So we have identified some core values to help us get there. And this morning, we are taking a look at number three, this thing called authentic community. Paul told the Corinthian believers, 1 Corinthians 12:12, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit." He told the same thing to the Roman believers, Romans 12:5. "So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another." That means when you became a follower of Christ, if you've made that decision in your life, you became a part of a community of believers. And that word community has become a part of a recent generation's list of needs for life, along with smartphone and high-speed internet access, is community. Being a part of a community over the past decade, that's become vital. And then came social distancing, home offices, virtual meetings, Zoom, online events, lockdowns and quarantines, and suddenly we all became much more highly conscious of just how important community is to us. I went to a Friday night football game at Hononega High School a little over a week ago, and apparently there are a few thousand people at least who think that being together really is important to them. But there is more to community than just living around other people. That word, community, has come to describe the way that we interact in a group, the way that we share our lives together, like some people say, the way that we do life together. I live in a community of people. I've got people that live to my left and people that live to my right and people who live across the street. I walk our dog through that community, but you know what? I don't share my life closely together with most of those people. And then there's my church family. And I'm around those people, but I don't just live in that community. I have community with those people. That's the kind of community living I want to talk about this morning. And it's not just community, you'll notice. This core value we're talking about this morning is authentic community. Go ahead and say it with me. Authentic community. Community. All right, that's core value number three, Central Christian Church. There have been some moments last winter where my neighbors, if they had looked out, may have seen me out at 4 a.m. with a puppy on a leash in the snow, sometimes in snow boots in my jammies. Probably didn't have my hair combed, probably wasn't shaved, probably didn't have my teeth brushed. There it was, reality TV, right there in my own backyard. We don't typically let people see that side of us on purpose, do we? Even though that is reality, that's how we look, even though that's what we are, we tend to keep that part of us inside of our home. When we do life together in the Lord's church, when we live in community with one another, we're supposed to be real. We're supposed to be authentic about the person that we present to others. That doesn't mean that next Sunday everybody come in your jammies and snow boots. But it does mean that you should still be seen by the rest of the community here, even when you're not doing your best, even when you've messed up, even when you're struggling. Becoming a part of this community of believers together means we've got a commitment to be authentic and that we agree with one another, that we expect that from each other. There's no need to put up a front here at Central Christian Church because everybody who accepts Jesus Christ as Lord has already made a statement with that step in their lives that they have messed up in life and that they need the Lord's help to fix it. Amen? We are saying to each other by following Jesus Christ, I'm not okay. You're not okay. But that's okay. Or as I saw on a marquee somewhere, I scream, you scream, the police are called, it's awkward. So in the interest of authentic community, let's talk about being needy people today. Why is this a core value at Central Christian Church? I'm glad you asked that. Let me give you five reasons this morning that this is a core value here, that this is important and vital to our lives together in Christ. Here's the first one, and that is that we need others to walk with us. God said something about the need that we have for others to go through life with us when he looked down at Adam, and for the very first time about his creation, he looked at it and said, "It is not good." Genesis 2:18, Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be what? Alone. So with the invention of Eve, God made man into mankind, a plurality. And this isn't just about being married. We are made not to go through life in isolation. And the church, of all places, is the place where that is especially true. Hebrews 10:25, the church is reminded that we should be not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. I like the way C.S. Lewis said it in his book, The Weight of Glory. He says, we are forbidden to neglect the assembling of ourselves together. Christianity is already institutional in the earliest of its documents. Together. Family was going into a movie theater, and on the way in, the oldest son of the family, a 9-year-old, asked if he could wait in line and get popcorn and then join the rest of the family. And so the dad agreed, handed to his son a criminal amount of money, and the rest of the family went on in and was seated. So finally, after this boy got through getting the popcorn and was headed on into the theater, the lights were already down dim because previews were started. And if you've ever been in that spot, you know that in a crowded theater with the lights down low, it's hard to find your family, isn't it? So he started looking around in the dark, couldn't find them. He paced the aisles, but he couldn't see well. And then the movie was going to start, so the lights got even dimmer. So he stopped and he said real loudly, "Does anybody recognize me?" People walk through life. Sometimes they walk through the doors of a church building looking for a family, looking for people who will accept them, looking for people with whom they can belong. And deep down inside, just like that little boy, they are looking at the crowd and they are saying, "Is there anyone here who will recognize me?" Why do you suppose this series about a bar called Cheers was so popular? That place where you want to go, where everybody knows your name. Because we have built inside of us this need for companionship and belonging. That's not some flaw or some weakness in you, if that's something that you feel. That is how God made us to be. And Paul describes the church as the whole body, Ephesians 4:16, that is joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The prescribed and enforced isolation of the past 2 years has really taken a toll on people. And the fallout of that still being assessed. You know, all the scientists and geniuses and experts are tolling up the numbers to say how bad it has been on people. Well, I'm going to stick my neck out here and I'm going to tell you what they're going to find out. They're going to find out that we need other people in our lives just to go through life with us. They're going to confirm that. God's already told us about it. Harvard University conducted a study of 7,000 people, and they concluded that the people most isolated in life were 3 times more likely to die than people who had strong relationships with others. John Ortberg got a hold of that study. He said this about it: people who had bad health habits, such as smoking, poor eating habits, or alcohol use, but strong social ties, lived significantly longer than people who had great health habits but were isolated. In other words, it is better to eat Twinkies with good friends than to eat broccoli alone. There's some good news for the day. Which brings us to another reason that we need each other. Here's number two. Here's another reason. That is, we need others to help us work. I often go to Ephesians 2:10 and talk about this. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God made us to be workers. So, synergy, this word you hear occasionally, means literally to work together. Synergy. Simply defined, it means that the effect of the whole, the outcome of the whole, is greater than the sum of the effects of the individual parts. Let me put that in English. Like when two draft horses pull together and they can pull far more weight than they could pull individually combined. Far more. That's called synergy. This group of people, you and me, living in authentic community is God's way to make us more effective than just the sum of a bunch of individual efforts. It keeps us efficient as workers in His kingdom, where our work matters to Him, so that we don't drop from fatigue. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 talks about the advantage of there being more than one. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. I encourage you, look to the skies. Geese are a fairly common sight around here, and everyone who watches them and other birds like them that travel long distances is familiar with that V formation called a skein or an echelon of geese when they do that. By the way, do you know why one part of the V is longer than the other typically of those? Because there are more geese in it. And do you know why they fly in that V formation? It's because flying in an S is too hard. Actually, the formation helps conserve the group's energy. Every bird if you look at them, flies slightly higher than the bird that's in front of it, because the bird that's in front of it creates an upward wind flow, and the lift from that aids the next bird so that it doesn't have to flap as much or as hard. The birds flying at the tips and the front rotate back. When they do this, they decrease the drag of the group and can fly 71% more. I don't know who measures that, but that's what the experts tell you. In other words, a flock of geese working together can fly much farther than an individual bird can fly all by itself. Synergy. Paul says, so then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of the faith. Why would he say that? Because the family of God, the community working together, is greater than the individuals put together. This authentic community living is also a core value because of this, that we need others to watch our back. Now, once again, back in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon is talking about how much better it is that there's more than just one. He says in verse 10, "For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken." Those are observations by the wisest man who ever lived. It gets into the New Testament, it becomes commands for the church. To the Philippians, "Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others." In Hebrews, "Let brotherly love continue." We need each other because we need each other to have your back. If someone tells me that, if somebody says to me, "I've got your back," and I believe it, and I believe they're able to do what they're saying, you know what? That takes a huge load of concern away from me. Don't say it if you don't mean it. But if you do mean it, make sure that you say it. Why? Because I need someone to watch out for me. Don't you? When my character is being slandered, if I am losing perspective, I need someone to come to me and love me enough to correct me. Please don't get in line to do that. If someone is planning to harm me and I don't see it, if I'm about to walk into something that is potentially too much for me to handle, I need for there to be someone who will approach me, who is watching out for me. My guess is you need that too. I've heard enough combat pilots speak. I am not one, but I've heard enough of them speak to understand the importance of what's called a wingman to protect you. And that is God's plan, that each of his people have a wingman to protect you from an enemy that is ready to take each one of us out at first opportunity. Doing life together in authentic community is a way that God keeps his people from defeat. I'm all in favor of that. How about you? Here's another reason this is a core value at Central, and that is that we need others because of the valleys. Sometimes the challenges that we're facing are not because there is a direct attack against us from the enemy. Sometimes it's simply because we live in a fractured creation and life has its moments. Valleys, we call them. Every week in our staff meetings, in our elders' meetings each month, in small groups, in other contacts with people, one of the things we very frequently do is we will sit and discuss people who are going through a valley. And we find ourselves talking quite a bit about the number of people who are facing cancer or serious diseases. We pray for families that are struggling, for parents with straying children, for adults who are caring for their aging parents, for students who are facing challenges, for people who are lonely, for the people right here today who have not yet accepted Jesus. And we talk about them and we pray for them by name because we consider if there are ways that we can help them. for what they're facing. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:8, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind." Central Christian Church, of which I'm a part, I want to compliment you on the way I have watched this in this church family and the way I have seen this church family care for people who are in need. And I won't say that we're perfect at it. We can continue to grow. There's always room for growth in this. But I have just watched as people here have cared for people at times when they really need care. Meals get provided. Somebody needs a ride. Somebody needs some help moving. Somebody needs a hand at their home with something. Somebody needs counsel. Somebody needs words of encouragement. Somebody just needs the ministry of somebody being present. And I've watched and I've been on the receiving end of this church family doing those things. You know, tomorrow morning we're going to be gathering here at the church building to remember a dear old saint who has gone home now. And as an authentic community, people will be there to encourage the family members, many of whom are here right now. It's what we do. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. He wrote to the Romans, rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. He wrote to the Thessalonians, therefore encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing. This authentic community is one of the ways that God helps people not to despair. It is another reason that you and I need each other. Now let me share one last reason, church, and it is one that connects with last week's message, and it's very important, a reason that we have this as a core value here at Central, and that is that we need others to make us bold. Jesus gave his disciples an example of what authentic community in the kingdom of God is supposed to look like in John chapter 13. It's at the scene of the Last Supper. Jesus assumed the role of the lowest servant, the role that all of his students were sloughing off to let someone else take it. He washed their feet, and after showing them this example, after telling them, I'm giving you this command to love one another, he says to them in John 13, 35, by this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. There is something about the followers of Jesus and the way that we relate to one another that is going to have a direct impact on our ability to be faithful witnesses to those who are not yet believers. Think about that. Among all the stories of Christians who died because of their faith in the past, there are along with them the accounts of how Christians in the middle of that encouraged one another not to give up. And to this day, as believers suffer for their faith in countries that right now are very hostile to Christianity, there are organizations whose purpose is to encourage them not to give up. Paul's writing was often encouraging believers to be bold in their witness for the Lord. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Years ago, there was a group of men who were convinced that they should revolt in order to regain freedom as a way of life. And they declared the causes which impelled them to the separation from England. They made a list of self-evident truths. And in the midst of that list, they appealed to God-given rights as a reason to do it. By signing this declaration, they also acknowledged that they were committing their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. That's an ominous pledge to make. When was the last time you signed something and said, I'm signing away my life, my fortune, and my sacred honor with this signature? Benjamin Franklin is credited with encouraging the Continental Congress right around that time by saying these words, "We must indeed all hang together, or most assuredly we shall all hang separately." In other words, guys, we need each other, and we need to stick together in this enterprise, or we're going to find ourselves losing and dying for it. He was right. They needed to help each other to be bold in that undertaking. Well, I'm becoming convinced that we need each other and will more than ever to encourage each other to be bold in our faith. The days in our nation where it was popular and where it was socially advantageous to claim to be a follower of Jesus have faded away, haven't they? People who choose to be bold with their faith may be paying for it in some way. Many already are. We need each other. God's answer to helping us not give in to fear is to live in this authentic community. So let me encourage you right now, follower of Jesus Christ, to be bold in your faith, to demonstrate that faith by being tightly bound in authentic community with brothers and sisters who share your faith. Paul wrote to Timothy, God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I want to read something to you to finish up this morning. A reading, it's an account by Keith Miller. He's an author. Bear with me, there are no pictures. But it's about an outgoing 40-year-old woman. She was a part of a sharing group that he led. Listen to what he writes about her. When I was a tiny little girl, my parents died and I was put in an orphanage. I was not pretty at all, and no one seemed to want me. But I longed to be adopted and loved by a family as far back as I can remember. I thought about it day and night, but everything I did seemed to go wrong. I must have tried too hard to please the people who came to look me over, and what I did was to drive them away. But then one day, the head of the orphanage told me that a family was coming to take me home with them. I was so excited that I jumped up and down and cried like a little girl. The matron reminded me that I was on trial, and this might not be a permanent arrangement, but I just knew that somehow it would work out. So I went with this family and started to school. I was the happiest little girl you can imagine. And life began to open up for me just a little. But then one day, a few months later, I skipped home from school and ran into the front door of the big old house we lived in. No one was at home. But in the middle of the front hall was my battered suitcase with my little coat thrown across it. As I stood there, it suddenly dawned on me what it meant. I didn't belong there anymore. Miller writes that in that group, when that lady stopped speaking, there was hardly a dry eye in the group. She paused, but when she cleared her throat, she said, almost matter-of-factly, "This happened to me 7 times before I was 13 years old. But wait, don't feel too badly. It was experiences like these that ultimately brought me to God. And there I found what I had always longed for, a place, a sense of belonging, a forever family." I sure wish this morning that there was a way for every person in Rockford to see that they can find a place, a sense of belonging, a forever family. Because that's what it means to belong to the family of God. Amen? That's something that you can find at Central Christian Church. That's something that the people who are part of Central Christian Church have found: belonging in Jesus Christ, a place of belonging, a family, a forever family. My hope this morning is you would make that reality in your life if you haven't done that. There's not going to be a suitcase in the hallway with your coat tossed across it. Jesus promises that for anybody who would come to him, he will in no way cast them out. If you've never stepped forward to accept his free gift of life, we want you to make that choice now. We want you to find in this place today, with this body of people today, an authentic community, believers in Jesus Christ, who are doing life together that you can be a part of. Would you pray with me? Father, for the promise that we can belong to your family, for the certainty that you will never turn us away, we thank you today. Lord, for putting us together, making up the body of Christ here on earth, giving us each other, to live together, to do life together through the times that are enjoyable and full of joy and through the times that are the hardest. Thank you that we can share those. So Lord, right now I pray that for anybody who feels outside of that, there'd be a time for reflection, a time to see what action needs to be taken to become a part of this. And Lord, I pray for all of us, especially those who have previously made this decision, that we would more carefully, in a more determined way, make sure that we are living like this authentic community that you've called us to be. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe this morning you're ready to make that choice. If you're joining us online, what we're asking you to do is get in contact with us. If you're here in person and you're ready to accept Jesus, then we're inviting you this morning to step down here to the front where I'm going to be and make it be known. I'm ready to make these next steps. I'm ready to become a follower of Christ. Come as we sing.